Share this morning what I believe and what I believe Scripture clearly teaches is the church's number one purpose. If you've read the Purpose-Driven Church, you already know what that is, so it's not going to be a big surprise, I don't think, but it may be to some, because there are a lot of answers that could be given to what was most important to that New Testament church. Some would say evangelism. And I would have to say evangelism was right up there because they were a very evangelistic church. Missions. Here was a church that was a great missionary church, obviously. They did good works. They weren't just professors, but they were doers of the word. However, in the Great Commandment, and that's those are the verses that Brother Curtis read. I trust that you all have your Bibles with you, and if you don't have them open, I would encourage you to have them open there to verse 35 of Matthew 22, because I want us to look at the passage that we have before us. This is called the Great Commandment, and this is the description of it by Jesus Himself. One of them, it says, an expert in the law, asked Him this question: "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" The greatest commandment. Now, you know what the law is, the Ten Commandments. Summarized, actually, in the Ten Commandments. And the first of those Ten Commandments is, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind and strength." Well, that's what Jesus said, and it really explains the meaning of "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And what that means is that you shall love the Lord your God, and these are the words of Jesus, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So this is the Great Commandment, you've heard of the Great Commission. Well, this is the verse that Rick Warren, but not just Rick Warren. This is what the Bible says, calls the great commandment. That should lead us, this commandment should lead us to conclude that worship of God should have first importance in our church's purposes. Now, I know you would say, well, whoa, preacher, it doesn't really say worship. It says love. But isn't worship an expression of love? Some of you husbands worship your wives. Not really, but close. You love her. You serve her. And you wives, the same. So you understand that there's a very strong connection there between love and worship. How can you express love to God without worship? So it takes a little step, but I think it's a very logical step. It's a step that God intends for us to take. We need to worship Him if we say that we love Him. There are three aspects of this kind of worship that I want us to notice this morning. Three aspects. First of all, it's priority. And I want us just to, we haven't really bowed in prayer. Would you bow with me in just a moment of prayer as we study God's Word together? Father, thank You for Your Word. Bless this time. Help us to learn the lessons that You have put here for our learning, for our edification, for our happiness, and our success in the Lord's work. Lord, You have called us to be faithful, not successful. I realize that, but if we are faithful, You have promised that You will give the increase. And Lord, You have promised to bless the faithful person with souls and with a life that is fruitful. And Lord, You have promised to bless the church. The lessons are multiplied in the New Testament. The church that is faithful to Your purposes for them. And so bless Your Word as we share it together. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to look first at the priority of that worship, or of that love expressed as worship. Now again, I made the statement, if you've read the Purpose-Driven Church, and let me encourage you to read it. There are some copies left, so if you need a copy, we ask for a donation. It's just to really encourage you to read it, because if I don't pay for something, I'm not going to read it, probably. And so $10 is a beautiful hardcover book, and we do have some copies left, and I want to encourage you to come back tonight. I'd love to see the auditorium filled, and we can order more books. But if you'll read that book, it'll change your life. If you read The Purpose-Driven Life, the greatest number of copies sold of any nonfiction book in history, well, you're going to benefit as much from The Purpose-Driven Church. But I want us to just think about what the purpose of the church is. Now, Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." Does that not say to us that we ought to put priority on loving Him? And we express that love through worship. There's a priority here. Jesus said that's the number one commandment. It has a priority positionally, first in the list of the Big Ten. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. I know as a church sometimes, and as Christians, we get busy with things thinking that busyness is spiritualness or spirituality. And sometimes we forget that we are here to worship God and to magnify His name. And that should be our number one motive when we come to church. Now, I know we come to see our family, and that's a wonderful thing. And we come to study the Word of God, which we need to help us to know God and to worship Him aright. But the number one thing, the number one motive ought to be to worship Him. Positionally, theologically, I mean, God is self-existent, isn't He? He is the one who created all things. He was before anything existed. And if you've read Genesis 1, also connect that with John 1, where it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So theologically, we owe Him everything. We owe Him our very lives. And logically, it has priority because the Bible says that we are to present ourselves as living sacrifices, which is our reasonable service. Should we not worship the One who died on the cross for our sins above all else? That ought to guide our motives and our purposes as certainly as individuals, but as a church as well. I'd like for us also to look at the activity. It's activity of worship, or of worship having priority, of love expressed as worship, if you will. Now, people would say, well, a love isn't something you do. Love is something you feel. And I think there is a feeling that will come with love, but it comes after we do the acts of love, when we show love and express love. I think that's why there are so many disappointed love relationships, because we think it's just a feeling, but it's really something we do. Now, I want to suggest that there is a poetry to express in that love. Now, when I fell in love with my wife 26 years ago. Yeah, the wheels were turning, but I think it was 26 and a half. I became a poet overnight. I don't think I wrote I wrote some silly, poetry when I was a junior high teenager that wasn't fit to publish. But this was beautiful. It just flowed from my heart. And you look at the hymnal, and these are all love poems that have been written expressing love for God. If you have love for God, you're going to be poetic about that. You're going to want to express that poetry. And we have a resident poet here, Ed Allen, written some beautiful poetry, and he shared some of that with us, and I'm going to have him share more of it. But there's a poetry to express in that act of worship. There's a passion also to exhibit. If we're not passionate about God, then our priorities are out of order, aren't they? I mean, we get passionate about things that really we should never be passionate about, and we're apathetic about the most important thing, which is our love relationship with God. We ought to be passionate. And there's a price to expend also in that act of worship. You remember before Jesus' death, a woman came and broke an alabaster box, a precious ointment that could have been sold for a year's wages, and expended it on her beloved Savior. How much do we love Jesus? I think it'll be measured by the price that we are willing to expend in expressing that love. I want us also to look at the intensity of that kind of worship. Look with me at the scripture passage there again. The question was, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God. Now, I suppose he could have put a period there, but no, he didn't. He went on and explained how we are to love God. He said, with all your heart, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And I believe the King James Version adds, with all your strength. And I think one of the other Gospels includes that. And I want to suggest what I think that means. I believe it speaks of desire. David spoke of God as his exceeding joy. I think maybe the reason why we don't think of God that way, if we don't, is because we have not really come to know Him. We've not spent time before His throne in worship. And not just worship when we gather together, but in our individual lives, do we begin the day with reading God's Word and with prayer and a time of worship, a personal time of worship? Now, I think the hymnal is a great tool of worship. I'm probably getting in trouble saying this, but if you don't have one, you can borrow one. Bring it back with you. Bring it every Sunday, and no one will ask a question. But have you had a song in your heart to the Lord? The Bible says we are to make melody in our hearts to the Lord. And that shows love. It shows worship. There should be a desire in that intensity. That's why Jesus said, with all your heart. The heart was the seat of desire and emotion. And if we don't feel that emotion, that God says, if you will draw near to me, I will draw near to you. And as we spend time with Him, that emotion will come. Or it may not come every day. But you who have been married very long know that you don't always wake up thinking, oh, how I love my spouse, my wonderful spouse. And your lips are just full of praise every day. No, it doesn't happen every day, does it? And sometimes you have those other thoughts, opposite thoughts. That's why we can't live on emotion. Rather, we ought to live on devotion. I didn't include that in the list of D's here, but I should have. Delight, I think that says deligate. I got an extra I in there, but that's supposed to be delight. David said, I delight in God. He is my exceeding joy. And Jesus said when he came into this world, he said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. There ought to be a delight. Here Jesus said, with all your soul. That word soul is the Greek word that we get our word psyche from. Actually, psyche is a Greek word. But it's the innermost being. And I believe this expresses delight. And with all your heart and with all your soul. and with all your mind. Now, there's this idea that some Christians have that, or some who, especially those that are not Christians, who want to be critical of Christians, they'll say, well, you know, that's so-and-so became a Christian because their mind left them. They lost their mind, and so they became a Christian. And unless you lose your mind, you can't be a Christian. You know, this idea that Christianity is irrational, that there's no proof for any of this in the Bible. But I believe the proof is all around us. It's just that unbelief has kept us from seeing evidences for creation, the evidence of the resurrection. Josh McDowell, a great apologist for the resurrection, said it's the greatest, most well-attested fact in human history, the resurrection of Jesus. And so I think when Jesus said, with all your mind, I think he said it like what he said to the Pharisees when he said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. Taste and see, the Bible says, that the Lord is good. We ought to worship the Lord with intensity. If we don't have intensity, then we don't really love Him. Love is shown by intensity. And I want just to encourage us to give this priority in our lives. To give worship of God priority. You know, not just doing things. Doing things for the Lord. But if we're not doing them with the right motive, if we're doing them just out of a sense of duty and not out of a sense of love, then soon we're going to grow weary and we're going to give up and we're going to stop doing those things. We're going to stop walking with the Lord. And so we need to make this a priority. We need to make worship, love expressed as worship, an active thing in our lives. A poetry to express, a passion to exhibit, a price to expend. And then we need to increase its intensity with desire, with delight, with decision. Let me ask you, have you made that decision to trust Jesus? To do like He said, search the Scriptures, for they are they which testify of Me. And He went on to say that if you believe in Me, you'll be truly free. Free from all of the things that bind you. And you'll be in a love relationship with Jesus that will never end. That will go on through the ages of eternity.